For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 4th, 2002. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
As a matter of fact, the word fornication covers that. If you look it up in the theological textbook of the Old Testament, this is a reference book that I use. Fornication covers bestiality, lesbianism, homosexuality, and incest. And they're all forbidden by the law of God. And you're not supposed to have sex during a woman's period. That's all Leviticus 18 is there for you to read. I'm not going to spend time reading it to you. Brother Glenn reads it to you. But I tell you, it brings a curse. It opens you to the enemy. Now, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't own this body that you sin. Jesus Christ bought and paid for it. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have for God? For you are not your own. You were bought with a price. And that price was not corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's 1 Peter 1, 18, 19. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, if you go back over here to verse 3, chapter 3, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, oh, where is it, Lord? Here it is, verse 16. "Or do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." God feels very, very strongly about sexual immorality. Let's look at, let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse 8. "Let us not commit sexual immorality," or fornication, "as some of them did, and one day 23,000 fell." Now, what he's referring to there is in Numbers chapter 25, 1 to 9. Now, what happened there, I will tell you the story. We won't go back and read it, but I'll tell you the story. The story was that the king of Moab hired Balak to curse the children of Israel. And he couldn't curse them because they were blessed. God had blessed them. And he said he could find no iniquity in them. So he couldn't curse them. They weren't blessed by God. But the king had offered him a whole pile of gold. And so in Revelation chapter 2, he told Balak, he said, "Now look, I can't curse these people. They're blessed by God. But you get your young women to go entice those men into the foreign temples and eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. God will curse them himself." And so they did. And they did. And God sent a plague. And he sent a plague. 25,000 people died of the plague. And then God had them execute everybody who'd been involved in the fornication. And the plague stopped when Phineas, when one of the leaders brought a Midianite woman back in and went into the temple, into the tent in front of everybody. Phineas, the son of the high priest, took a spear and went in there and stuck it through the two of them. They on the ground. They stuck it through both of them, and the plague stopped. It so incensed them that this man would bring and commit fornication right there in front of them that he went out and got the spear and killed him, and God stopped the plague. But he killed 25,000 people, plus all those folks who'd sinned. That's how strongly God feels about it. And he says to you, why does he feel that way? Because he does not want you to hurt yourselves. He does not want you opening yourselves to the enemy. He does not want you opening yourselves to all the diseases that can come in. He wants you to be pure. He does not want you worshiping foreign gods. Now, he considers fornication idolatry. Let's look at Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. God considers them idolatry. And he considers idolatry spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery. And you're not supposed to do that. Now, Jesus went a little bit further than that. He said, I say to you that any man that looks upon a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery and is guilty of the sin. Sexual fantasy is adultery. If you're married, fornication if you're not. Well, Lord, Lord, where do I go from here? How does God feel about it? Let's look in Revelation chapter 21. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. It says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. When you overcome it, you're going to inherit all things. I will be his son, and he shall be... I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. People who persist in that. Now, we have some people under the curse of whoredom that have a whoring spirit. And, you know, you've got men who've got nice wives at home. The environment skirt chases, and they chase every skirt in town. I remember so well a pastor's wife that came to me. She and her husband came. And she had been a member of the Unification Church, and she had been in this, she had a beautiful voice, and she had been in this choir that traveled, and she'd gotten saved. Her husband was a pastor, but she had this whoring spirit that came down through the curse of whoredom. And then when she got settled in town, she'd go down to the beer joint at night and go home with one of those men. And she said, well, honey, I parked the car in the back of the beer joint so nobody can see it. They won't. Of course, everybody in there knew she was there, and everybody in there knew that she was an easy target. But she was deceived. She thought nobody knew. You know, my father used to be an alcoholic, and mother told us it was our responsibility to make sure nobody knew daddy drank. Now, he staggered down the street drunk every night. But I figured, you know, nobody knew that my dad was drunk because I never told anybody. We covered up for him. Well, that lady, that's the wine. That lady, the whoredom, had blinded her mind. And she thought that she was, you know, it was... But she was coming down here, and we cast that whoring... We broke the curse of whoredom over her and cast that whoring spirit out of her, and she never had any more problems. She came back next year and thanked me. Don't thank me, honey. You're thanking the wrong person. Thank the Holy Spirit, because without him, I can't do nothing.
Right.
You thank him every day. Now, praise you, Lord Jesus. I I've told this story so many times, but maybe there's some folks here who hadn't heard it. Some years ago, I used to have a Bible study. And I've been divorced for 25 years. I've never remarried. But I've always taken my meals at the hospital after I separated from my wife. I just said I wasn't going to be a slave to the kitchen. So I ate three meals a day in the hospital cafeteria. I still do. And I told that at Bible study one day, and this young lady said, who'd been in the Bible study for 6 months or a year, and I knew that, you know, she had a couple of kids, and somebody was taking care of the kids during Bible study, and she, you know, she invited me over for a home-cooked meal. Well, old Billy, you know, I showed up, you know. Oh, God. I walked in, I didn't know that girl was that good-looking, boy. I mean, she had this outfit on, boy, I mean, put on with a spray gun, you know. I didn't know she was that good looking, and she smiled, honey, and I went in, you know, and the lights were down low, and the candles were burning, and the music was on, and I looked in the kitchen in there, and in the dining room in there, and there were lights on, she had the champagne bucket by the table, and I said, oh, dear God, Billy. And I felt something stirring down in me I hadn't felt in several years, and I said... Ooh, Billy, you in a mess. And, you know, I got strangled with some mucus, and I had this bad coughing spell. And I just went out on my knees, I was coughing. So she said, can I help you? I said, yeah, give me a glass of water. She ran to the kitchen, man. I hot jumped out that front door and got in my car and fleed, man. I went home. I tell you one thing, if I stood around here, I'm not sure, old Billy. That's read the Bible says flee. I mean, once you get your emotions roaring and your passions stirred, the Holy Spirit speaks in a real quiet, soft voice. And it'll drown you out, man. You need to get away from there while you still got good sense. And then I learned after that, I never went to a single lady's house alone after that. I had this, about 4 or 5 years later, I had this young lady ask me if I'd come. She'd bought a new house, and I knew she'd be my cleaning lady, and I knew she had a couple of kids, and she and her husband had separated, and she bought this new house, and she wanted somebody to come pray through it and exercise it. And I said, sure, I'll come along. I went by and picked up Tom and Carol. Couple, you know, in my Bible study. I said, you know, we got to go exercise the house. And we all go with me. He said, sure. We pulled up in front of that house, you know, and we went up and I knocked on the door and here she come and she had on this little halter top and she's all poked out up there, you know. She had looked like a bikini bottom. That's the shortest shorts I've ever seen. And she come and said, I pulled the door and said, Carol, would you go in? And Carol gave her that look like she said, And, man, we walked into the dining room, into the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, back out, came through them two bedrooms, and out front, shortest exit, and it took less than 5 minutes right through that house. Got out on the front porch, you know, out on the front lawn there, and looked back, and Carol said, I think she had more in mind, huh? I said, I sure appreciate you people being here. And I learned then that what they told me, that sex was a trap for doctors and preachers. That's the devil's trap to put you in. Yeah. And I tell you, gentlemen, I tell all you young ladies, carry a cellular phone with you when you don't ever go to parties, honey, where, you know that 25% of the girls that come out of most major universities have been date raped? That's right. That's raped by somebody they know and trust. I say, don't you ever let anybody mix you a drink. Don't you want to get a Coke? You tell them, go get you a Coke. You go get it yourself. You open the bottle and make sure that you drink it out of the bottle.
That's right.
You open that can yourself.
That's right.
And you hold that can. Don't you send anybody to get it. Because the rape drug is colorless, odorless, and tasteless. And once you get in your body, you don't know what's going to happen to you because you're going to be out.
That's right.
You're going to wake up. Like the young lady, the mother called me and said, she said, Doctor, no, I don't know what to do. My daughter's back. Yeah. And her clothes are on. She got her jeans on, but the inside out. And her shirt is inside out, and she ain't got no underpants on. I said, Gramps, that don't sound good to me. And so I gave it to a friend of mine who'd handled that type of problem. It wasn't my patient, it was one of my partner's patients. But I tell you, this was a 15-year-old girl. Was going to some sort of slumber party or something, and it turned out there wasn't no slumber party. They had not been truthful with the mother, and they went out to some beer party someplace out in the pasture somewhere. I say to you, girls, don't go to a party when you're in high school where you know alcohol is going to be served. And don't go to a party that they know adults there to protect you. You get two beers in that boy, and he becomes somebody different. They did a survey, Jim. James Dobson did a survey on the East Coast 8th and 9th grade girls and boys. And they said, under what circumstance is it permissible for a boy to rape a girl? Now, they didn't use that bloated word, rape. They used another word. They said, under what circumstances is it permissible for a boy to force a girl to have sex? Same thing, but different words. And they said, well, would it be permissible if he'd spent $25 on a date? And, oh gosh, it's been a long time ago, but 60% of the boys said yes and 15% of the girls said yes. Would it be admissible if they'd gone steady for 6 months and more than half of both sexes said yes? Would it be permissible if he knew that she'd had sex with some other boy? Now, half the boys said yes, and not many of the girls said yes to that one. And the rest of them I don't remember. But that was 10 years ago. And whatever happens on the coast in 10 years gets to Kansas and Arkansas in 5 years. You have to be careful. You have to use, my mother used to say, use common sense. I tell young girls who go to college to have a cell phone. They go out on a date, and they get in a tight place, call their daddy and say, come get me. I don't know any man won't burn rubber to get there to save his daughter now. I used to have this friend did co-ed camping. And he took girls and boys. He took them camping in the wintertime, took them canoeing in the summer. And I said, what do you do, chaperones? He said, oh, I just take the girls' fathers. And I always make sure that there's at least one girl in that tent who has a father present. And I never have any problems. He said, those men patrol that thing, that camp. He said, I just don't have problems when the daddies are there. They don't sleep too well. Today, I just don't know any man that won't burn rubber to save his daughter. If she calls crying and says, I'm in trouble, I want you to come get me. But, young men, I say to you that God watches you. God watches you. If you have a woman, a girl that you really care for, that you're taking out, and you shouldn't date any other type, then you should treat her like she's your sister. When I was raised, that was the way we were trained to treat women that we dated. We were trained to respect them and to treat them as if they were our sister, and we wouldn't dare violate our sister. And anyone who would violate his date was considered low life. Respectable people wouldn't have anything to do with it. That's not true anymore, unfortunately. And I think a lot of it's because, just like Brother Glenn says, it ain't preached from the pulpit. It ain't preached from the pulpit. Now, you can get some really aggressive young ladies. And like I said, I had to flee. And, because remember what it said, your daughters will become whores. When you get a whoring spirit in a girl, she gets aggressive. She gets aggressive, and she shows off her wares, and she's ready to give it away. And she learns how to get people all bawling and excited and their emotions all roaring. And she becomes good at seduction. There's a seducing spirit that comes in and seals their conscience so that they don't feel like they're doing anything wrong. Praise you, Lord God. I think I have beaten this subject enough. I think everybody in here knows that, number one, that God feels very strongly about it. Number two, the devil loves it because it opens the door for him to bring in all kind of diseases. All religions in primitive nations involve a sexual immorality. All the religions of the Canaanite nations around them were involved in sexual immorality. Witchcraft involves sexual immorality. The initiation into witchcraft is to have sexual intercourse on the altar. Every witchcraft service ends with sexual intercourse on the altar. Their services are frequently, more often than not, done in the nude. I say witchcraft, I'm talking about black witchcraft, Satan worship. Now realize that anybody who worships an idol worships demons. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Anybody who worships an idol worships a demon. When you get involved in sexual immorality, you're worshiping a demon. And it will come into you, and it will cause you to be diseased. It will cause all kinds of problems for you. It'll ruin your life and the lives of your loved ones. That's the reason Satan attacks this area so frequently. It's put so many of his troops into lust, into sexual lust. So, my answer to you is, number one, learn to possess your vessel in holiness and sanctification, not in the passion of lust, like the heathen that don't know God. And we are basically in a heathen world. You don't believe it? Cut television on and watch it. If it doesn't nauseate you, there's something wrong. I think that you need to come get deliverance. If what you see on television just doesn't nauseate you, if you can sit there and enjoy what you see on the sitcoms, what you see on the tactfully done, nevertheless, all based on sexual lust, immorality. You can enjoy that. You don't fear God. To fear God is to hate evil. How you feel about sin? I don't own a television set. I hadn't owned one in 25 years. I thought when I separated, I might like to get one to watch the evening news, have a weather channel and watch the evening news, maybe watch a John Wayne movie occasionally when they were on, and the Discovery Channel. The Discovery Channel's gotten pretty bad. I watch it once sometimes when I'm on call and I'm in the doctor's call room. But the rest of it is horrible. And if you enjoy that, and I can't find John Wayne on very often anymore. You know, the Duke, he just ain't there no more. I love the scenery, you know, the western scenery, you know, and the horse soldiers and all that. You have all that beautiful scenery. I really like to watch that. And then John was never a skirt chaser. And praise God. I think we need to stop and everybody stand up now and hold up their hands and praise God a little bit. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. You jump up now a little bit, get the blood moving out of your feet and back up to your brain. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise your name. And glorify you, Lord God. Everybody hold up the hands now. Say, dear Lord, I love you. I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. Was manifested in the flesh. Died on the cross. for my sin.
Was raised from the dead.
For my justification.
Ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of God the Father.
Ever to make intercession for me.
He sent a spirit of adoption
into my heart,
whereby
I cry, Abba Father.
God is my Father.
Jesus is my big brother.
I have been accepted in the Beloved.
I am not a rejected child.
I'm a child of God.
God has given me a new family.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus Christ
was hung on the cross
and made a curse
that I might be delivered
from the curse of the law.
Thank you, Lord.
I confess
all the sins
of my ancestors
back 20 generations.
I break the curse
of idolatry,
whoredom,
fornication,
incest,
illegitimacy
of the occult,
of returning evil for good,
poverty,
and all the other curses.
I break the curses on these sins.
On me
and my children
and lineal descendants
forever.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You can sit down. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to have a mass deliverance service. And I'm going to, want you to keep both feet on the floor. Don't cross your feet. You remember when you were little kid, you said you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell the truth? Well, the devil said if you cross your feet, across your arms, across your legs, across your body parts, he don't have to believe what you're saying because you ain't telling the truth. He's an absolute legalist, and he will take any legal grounds he can not to obey. I didn't mention about self-pleasuring, sexually self-pleasuring, commonly called masturbation. You cannot masturbate without sexual fantasy. Sexual fantasy is adultery or fornication by definition from Jesus Christ. Masturbation or self-pleasuring is a self-centered self-idolatry. It's a curse. It's a sin before God. It's a curse. I just wanted to cover that with you. I've explained my grounds for it. I've heard lots of other grounds. People say this and that and the other. But that is my grounds for understanding it. If you've been involved in that, you need to repent of the curse, and you need to cast it out, repent, and turn away. Repent means to be convicted of the Holy Spirit's wrong and to turn around and walk away and not do it again. Unfortunately, the thing about it is that you can't do it without help from God. You can't truly repent unless God gives you the spirit of repentance. And that is commonly seen in forgiveness. You can say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. But when that thing comes up again, you get mad all over again. And you get angry and you get all upset. Well, and you just get mad again. And it means that what you need to do is you need to, with forgiveness, you need to pray for people. You need to pray for the people who hurt you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, pray for those who abuse you, who use you, who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be a child of your Father in heaven. And when Job didn't get healed until he prayed for his tormentors. Abimelech stole Abraham's wife. and came, and he brought her back, and he asked Abraham to pray for him because God had closed up all the wombs in his harem. All his women weren't bearing kids anymore. And so Abraham prayed for them, and God opened their wombs again. But in the next chapter, the next verse, that's the last verse on that, on chapter 19, on verse 20, it said, and then God visited Sarah, and she had the child that they had been standing in faith for over 15 years. She got pregnant. Once Abraham prayed that God would, that God would bless Abimelech who'd stolen his wife, that he'd open their wombs. And so I say, if you really want to get free of unforgiveness and pain and sorrow, pray for the people who hurt you. You say, how can I pray for them? Well, pray God will save them and bless them. Just God will save them and bless them, that's all. Just bless them. If you really want them to go to hell and don't want them, it means that you really hadn't forgiven. Because forgiving is to give up the right for revenge. If you want them to go to hell, you want revenge on them. That means you're stealing from God. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and it makes you a thief. And you want to be a thief and steal from God? I tell you, God, I don't want to steal from God. No, sir. And I don't think anybody got good sense. The devil tried it once. Look where he is. And besides, I don't serve God because I'm scared of hell. I serve God because I love Him.
Amen.
I love Jesus.
Yep.
I love Jesus Christ. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'll walk to the doors of hell and not look back. Because I know He's walking with me. And whatever happens to me happens. I don't care. My grandma used to say, quicker to death, quicker to glory. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now we're going to, one thing that will block deliverance are ancestral curses. We've broken that. The second thing is involvement in the occult, sexual sin that hadn't been repented of, unforgiveness, and proudness, being proud, and lying. So what I'm going to say to you now is I'm going to lead you in a prayer to confess the occult, to forgive, confess sexual sin, and then we're going to call out the demons. Okay? But none of you, if you've never been in a mass deliverance service, where you keep both feet on the floor, don't cross your hands, and just relax in the chair where you are. I bind you in that chair by the Spirit of the living God. Demon can't move you out of it. By the Spirit of God. And just relax and let it happen what happens. I mean, if you cough, cough. Okay? If you vomit, vomit. If you feel something come out of you, let it go. Don't be afraid about your dignity. Don't think you might lose your dignity. Because you can get your dignity back, but let your demons go. Now, you can hold on to your demons. You can sit there and hold them down and keep them. God won't deliver you from your friends, only your enemies. Only those things you desperately want to get rid of. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I confess. The sin of the occult.
Lord Jesus.
Break the curse of the occult over me. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you've been involved in the Shishan sticks or the horoscopes or the card layers, been to the card layer, been to the tea leaf room, had your palm read, all that's the occult, and you say, God, forgive me. If you name it, you say, God, forgive me and break the curse. Okay? Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I love you.
Lord,
I confess.
That
in the past, certain people have hurt me, and I resent them for it. I do hereby as an act of my will. Forgive them. I release them from any hope of vengeance. I ask you to bless them, Lord God. Bring them to salvation. In the name of Jesus, I release them and break all soul ties.
I release them and break all soul ties.
In the name of Jesus, I do hereby break all ungodly soul ties. To my mother, my father, my grandparents, and anyone else who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all ungodly soul ties to anyone I've ever had sex with or lusted after. I release them to you. I release any foreign soul from me. And I call back my soul. I ask you to send the angels. Break the containers containing my soul. And bring it back. And to restore my soul. As you promise in your word. In the 23rd Psalm. Thank you, Lord. I confess sexual sin, Lord. That in the past, I have lusted after people. I confess it as sin, Lord. And any other sins. I will await him. If God brings anything to your mind that you need to ask forgiveness for, you do it quietly under your breath, but you put it in the airways where the devil can hear you say it. He can't read your mind. Anything that you need to confess, very quietly. Everybody look forward now. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I break the curse and all ungodly soul ties in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, you spirits of rejection, I bind you in Jesus' name.
I am not
a rejected child.
I am a child of the living God.
God is my Father.
Jesus is my big brother.
And they did not give me
a spirit of fear,
but a power, love, and a sound mind.
They did not send a spirit of bondage again to fear.
But they sent the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba, Father.
Fear, leave me.
Rejection, leave me.
Pride, leave me.
I bind all the Amorites
and the Hittites,
the Canaanites,
and the Hivites.
And I ask the Lord Jesus Christ
to send his angel
to drive them out
as he promised.
To send the hornets from heaven
to sting them and drive them out.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, all you spirits of rejection, leave God's people. Turn God's people loose now. Be gone. All the spirits of fear of not being good enough, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of rejection.
Fear, go
in the name of Jesus. All fear,
go.
Go in the name of Jesus. All depression, go. Anxiety in the heart brings depression. Go, fear. Fear the dark, fear the water, fear of closed places, fear of people, fear of men, fear of sex. Go in the name of Jesus. All fear. Fear, go, for fear has torment. Tormenting spirits, go in the name of Jesus. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ does drive out fear. Fear, be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of self-hatred and self-pity in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of self-hatred that came in because you didn't think you were good enough and they want you to be somebody else. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind that self-pity and self-hatred in Jesus' name. I command you to leave God's people in the name of Jesus. Go on, get out of here in the name of Jesus. I bind the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I bind all sexual lust in the name of Jesus that would come in because of rejection. I bind sexual lust. The love of the world. The love from the world system. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All lust come out that came in as love. Come out in the name of Jesus. Go! Go! Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave. Command you to leave now. In the name of Jesus, I bind all rebellion. I bind all pride, stiff-necked pride and stubbornness. The Hivites and the Amorites in the name of Jesus that would come in. Come out. Come on out. All the spirits of pride and stubbornness. I can do it myself. I don't need you. I don't need you. I can do it myself. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. I'm sufficient for myself. I'm strong enough. I can do it. I don't need anybody's spirits. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Out, 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 out in the name of Jesus. Come out, all deceptive spirits, all scoffer spirits, a haughty spirit, scoffer is his name. Scorning spirits, come on out. Scorning spirits, sarcastic spirits, come on out. Sarcastic spirits, belittling spirits, come on out. Shaming spirits, come on out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all of you, and I break your power. Come out, all rebellious spirits, spirits of rebellion, come out, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Come on out of there, rebellion, come on out, Jezebel spirits, Ahab spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you all, and I break your power. I come out, pull out the root of bitterness now. I pull the root of bitterness out of that back in the name of Jesus. Root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. Come on out, root of bitterness. Come on out, all bitterness. Bitter spirits. Come on out. Bitter spirits. Anger spirits. Rage spirits. Murder spirits. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. All rage, anger, murder, intolerance. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Spirits of being criticism. Critical spirits. Come on out. Come on out. Spirits of perfection. I'm going to do it right. Nobody's going to criticize me. Spirits of perfection. Come out in the name of Jesus. I'm going to do it by the book. I know it's going to be right. Nobody will be able to criticize me again. Come on out. Perfection spirits. Spirits of perfection. Come out. Come out. Critical spirits. Come on out. Intolerant spirits. Anger and rage spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. Bind you all. Come on out of there. Fear of germs now. Come out. Fear of spirits. Fear of germs. Fear of dogs. Fear of cats. Fear of snakes. Fear of spiders. Fear of high places. Come out. Come out. All fear. Fear. Fear is tormenting. Come out, tormenting spirits. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your foul. Witchcraft spirits. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. I bind witchcraft now in the name of Jesus Christ. Witchcraft, mind control, I isolate you from all other spirits. You can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. No power or authority from any other spirit. You can communicate with no other spirit. Now you will unlock your hands and you will come out. Witchcraft, mind control, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people. All witchcraft, all headaches, migraine headaches, come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Witchcraft, migraine, witchcraft behind the ears, come on out. All deaf and dumb spirits that came in through fear, I bind you. All deaf and dumb spirits that came in through the family line, I bind you. I bind deafness in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I break its power that was filtered in words that I'm saying to you. I bind the deaf and dumb spirit.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.